Banksy and Pinky for breakfast on Triple M.
Hey, good morning. Thursday the 16th is here. Pinky, how's you feeling, mates?
Look, I'm feeling a lot of things. And apparently, it's not all about me. The moon has a part to play.
Oh, okay. I'm getting this at home, too. Wife Jade says something is going on. Something.
It is. I've learned up a little.
Have you
I'll
now?
I'll share it with you before 6:30.
That's good to know.
But also, what's on your bucket list? Is going to the moon on there?
Ooh.
If you are a Triple M Club member, we could be helping you tick it off the list and make it happen. Please scratch the moon off. That could just be disappointing.
Apparently going to the moon is on NASA's bucket list as well.
Who conspiracy?
Hey, we could buy you a packet of space sticks from the supermarket, but you could win $10,000 to receive your most cherished bucket list dream.
Yeah.
Just sign up now, triplem.com.au. I have a girlfriend who is far more into New Age theories than me. And whenever we catch up, whether we're chatting online or on the phone, which is very rare, she blames the moon for something that I'll tell her.
I'll
be like, oh, man, I'm so tired at the moment. I just can't get on top of it. And she's like, the moon is in its 11th heaven eating a paddle pop. That is why you feel so tired.
Eating a paddle pop?
Mate, it's kind of hectic.
Oh,
and then I'm
goodness.
Like, why is everyone acting like psychos? And she'll be like, the moon just stood on Lego and it won't settle down for 2 weeks, Piggy.
Just stood on Lego.
And I'm like, what the?
Yeah. Moon. I see.
Yes.
Everything gets blamed on the moon.
It does.
Look, I've got to say, this is kind of happening at my home as well. Mm. Jade yesterday just gone, I don't know what's happening, whether the moon's doing something, but people in my work are crazy, I'm crazy, the kids are crazy, everything's just blah.
And it doesn't matter what your job is, where you live on the planet.
I don't think so either.
You can both at the same time be going, oh my goodness, what is going on?
I know.
That's why it's the moon.
There's something doing that's not, it's out of the ordinary.
So it is true in that the timing of the moon having a hissy fit can line up with life being bonkers.
Is that right? Yeah,
so
good, good.
I did try to get a moon expert on to moon us, and it seems the email went off to the universe, never to return to Amethyst Land, so there's no moon expert today.
How's the ironing? How's the ironing?
Instead, I read the article my girlfriend sent me to explain the current moon situation. Lionsgate Portal, August 2018.
Moon.
Keep that going. I love that show. Cosmic energy has been amplified and has felt immensely intense for some weeks now, and many people are feeling exhausted, wondering how much more they can handle.
Moon.
The Lionsgate portal is considered a gateway into the heavens and into higher realms of consciousness.
Wow.
During this time, higher frequency energies from the star Sirius are beamed down onto Earth in order to help advance the human race and raise the consciousness of the planet.
Moon.
The Lionsgate portal is activated every year on August 8th.
Oh.
So days away.
Right.
Ago. When the Sun, Sirius and the Earth move to specific points in the sky. Exhausted. Apparently this time is all about empathy and cleansing one of your chakras.
Oh, okay.
The one on your neck.
This is the cleansing of chakra moment. Is that when things go crazy?
Look, that's what I'm saying. I don't go into much depth with this stuff. I just go, it's the moon. Move on. The other report, though, that I read tells us that there will be no change in this vibe until the weekend, and I'm like, well, yeah, because I can chill out then and have a wine as long as the stars align, I suppose.
Yeah, don't know if this is a moon thing. I think it's just your lunacy. I know when you get that power bill in the mail.
This hurts.
It does, doesn't it? You just go, and you don't want to open it, but you do, and then you do, and you're shocked.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. I don't know if I have the energy to get through this, but I'll let you know what's been happening in the energy power sector.
Not just hot gas.
No. A former energy executive, he spent years defending the indefensible, launched a blistering attack on some of the country's biggest power companies. Adrian Merrick is his name. He was the executive manager of retail at Energy Australia. And he said the Gentailers, Gentailers, which are power generators and retailers, Freudian slip, were reaping record profits from the high wholesale price of electricity when the underlying cost of actually producing that energy hadn't changed. So they're not paying any more to produce the energy, yet they're making $668 million more profit from us.
A bit like the made in China argument.
Uh-huh.
You know?
So
it got made for 20 cents, but you can pay $70 for it.
Yeah.
That kind of...
But the thing is, with the energy company, Energy Australia, that producing this electricity cost absolutely no more, yet we are paying more. They made $668 million more and did nothing else but raise the prices. And clearly it's hitting our hip pocket as well. On 13/27/10, I got around $2,000 electricity bill.
You struggled to spit that one out. I don't blame you.
Because I'm still having a hard time believing it.
Yeah, I'd be mortified.
It has clearly been raised since our last energy bill came. That is much more than what we paid last time.
And it's winter.
And that too. I'm thinking, okay, dryers, two fridges, lights get kept on a fair bit, but $2,000, that's where I'm going to put it. Mm-hmm. Beat that as your energy bill.
Hello. Cost of living. We want people in Australia to be living in homes, not on the streets, and this is a necessity to survival.
Yeah. On 13/27/10, it's the power game. Can you beat around $2,000, Selwyn?
How's it going, Banksy? It's the mad mechanic.
Selwyn, I've got to ask, mate, can you beat a $2,000 electricity bill?
No, I'm just under yours, 15.
15.
Ooh. And for how many people?
Two.
Yeah, you got two people and it's at 15. Was that a major increase from the last one you got?
Yep.
Yeah, but can...
Every time when I open the bill... My wallet screams.
Yeah, mine would be just be weeping in the corner.
Yeah, just tears.
Yeah, in a fetal position.
Yeah, and we've been given really no assistance to help this dramatic rise in power, and be given no reason for it either.
No, and plus they try to. You look at the little graph to see what your neighbours are like.
Yeah,
and my one's always as high as what theirs is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You've got pretty much higher than your neighbours. That's full on. Triple M, who's this?
Coxie, g'day, Banksy, how you going?
Yeah, good, Coxie. $2,000 for an energy bill. Beat that, man.
No, you got me hands down, but ours got up to $1,870 on the February bill, or the late January, February bill. Mm-hmm. I spat the dummy, and we jumped in and we bought $3,800 worth of solar panels, another $1,200 put in, $5,000. I tell you what, the bill now every month, $140, $150.
Stop it.
That's a smart move, Coxie. May I ask, what did you put the bill down to?
Well, because we've got the lazy cow, we're running seven fridges, two in the van, two at home, and then we've got the beer fridge out the back, the big double door fridge in the kitchen with the ice maker. So we're running seven fridges or freezers. Mm. Now, I dropped the one off the van, and we only had the freezer in the van, but to say that made a hell of a difference. And then we changed the way we lived our lives. We instead of leaving the pool pump on 3 days in a row, you start living in the daytime.
You have
to. The washing up and then the washing and everything else and use the solar power, because they're only giving you 10 cents back, but they charge me 38. So work that out. How come I'm only getting 10 cents back? So you get bugger all, so you might as well use it. But I can tell you, with the money we're saving now, it's only going to take me 1 year. At the prices they're gouging, it's going to take 1 year, and this thing's paid for itself.
And the best thing is, you can tell the power companies now to stick it where the sun does shine.
Well, I used a couple of different adjectives. Yes.
Banksy and Pinky for breakfast.
We've got, well, I want to call him the internationalist, our new coach of the Capras, David Fayumu. How are you this morning, David?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, great. Good. Nice to be on the show, making my debut with you guys. So take it easy on me. And
Yes.
Too harsh.
No promises,
well,
Dave.
Good, David. Get really comfortable because we'll be spending a lot more time with each other in 2019. Like, I have to say, heads up, I was getting my mouth around pronouncing your surname today because that's what we need to do before we go on air.
Got to get it
and,
right.
And I did do a mispronunciation, David. I did say David FOMO. Do you have a fear of missing out?
No, I don't, guys. But, no, it's just easier to call me Fooey. Just Fooey's good, but Fayumu, that's how you pronounce it.
Fayumu.
Yeah, I've got Fayumu. And so did you have a fear of missing out on taking on this role?
On the new, the Capras coach.
No, I didn't. I just put my best foot forward in me and I was just hoping like hell I got the gig. So
Well done.
Really rock and roll and looking forward to it.
I feel like we need to put you through the paces. All right, so what's your game plan? What are you going to bring to the team that they don't already have, Fooey?
Just a professional outlook on how things are supposed to be done in a rugby league environment. Look, I know it is a semi-pro outfit, a club, but you can still be as professional as you can be. So, some knowledge, some experience, just some learnings and teachings that I've been passed on, that have been passed on to me from some good coaches. So, just that professional outlook.
Where do you think you got most of that information? Was it like the international scene with New Zealand or your time with the Cowboys? Like, where did you build that knowledge, Dave?
I started at Canberra at the Raiders. We had Matt Elliott there. Mel Meninga was there when I first got there until he got sacked. Michael Maguire was there. Yep. He coached me in reserve grade and Neil Henry. So it kind of started right back from there. Early 2000 it was when I started there. After the Cowboys and over at Huddersfield, where I had Nathan Brown, great coach over there, and taught me so much about the game. And he didn't teach me how to slap my players, but that's all good.
Now, David, getting into more personal matters, we were talking earlier about how I've got a girlfriend who blames the moon when things go a little hectic. Do you blame the moon? Do you believe the moon has an effect on people, on players, etc.?
Wow.
Quite possibly. Look, when we're losing, we're on a losing streak, I will be blaming the moon. I look to blame the moon. I look to blame everything.
Excellent.
But my coaching ability. So, I might pull that card out one day.
Okay, sure. Well, I just gave it to you.
That's the lunacy option. The lunacy.
Also, where do you like to go and chill out in the great outdoors of central Queensland?
Yapoon. I love Yapoon. I love getting down there, just walking on the beach. Anywhere down in Yapoon. I love Emu Park. I love it down there.
Yeah.
Walking along the beach, playing some golf down there, just relaxing, having a coffee. It's just a beautiful place to go.
Well, that's it. We've already hit Bill Ludwig, the mayor of Livingston, up for a bit of a name change. We're going to call it David Fayumu Park now.
Thanks, guys.
Love it.
Now, look, we can say welcome, but you kind of already been here for a bit.
Exactly.
But welcome to the Triple M studios as the years fold out and we get you in and find out more as we have our Capras catch-ups. And if you do need any motivational speaking, we have our Pinky here.
Yes. I do not a bad motivational speech.
Yeah.
Awesome, guys. I look to get you in as guest speaker before we hand out the jumpers. So
sounds great.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
We found out a really strange story. This woman has gone on to social media to post about her disappointment that her partner didn't spend enough money on her ring because he earns a good six figures. He only spent $2,280 on the engagement ring, and it's kind of small. It's kind of small.
I have to say, there's a lot of things I feel like we need to be learned up on in life and how to do marriage and what it's about.
That's definitely
one of the things I think there should be a book about. On that note, I've bought myself a divorce ring.
a divorce ring?
I've ordered one. A black agate crystal. I have. It's a gift to myself. It is a grounding and protective crystal and gives calming peace. I'm excited about a ring I bought myself.
I didn't even know there was such a
thing. Marrying myself.
I didn't know there was such a thing, ring.
There is. I invented it. So we want to talk this morning about...
I'm sorry.
What?
That's hilarious.
It's
I love that.
For all occasions.
That's gold. Actually, it's probably more silver.
No, it's black.
It's black agate.
Black agate.
Wow. So we're talking ring things on 13 27 10. Triple M, who's this?
Hi, Banksy. It's Sharon.
Hey,
how are you going?
Sharon. We are good, Shazza. Let us know about your ring thing.
Oh, look, I just can't get over that woman.
Oh, I know.
I've been married for nearly 30 years this year. We paid $20 for our wedding ring.
Oh,
Shazza,
cute.
I love you.
Yeah, me too.
Marry
and
me.
My husband, I still have that.
Yeah.
My husband went and picked my engagement ring by himself. And I think it's the most special thing. And we were on a very tight budget.
Like,
I think we used to earn like $100 a week back then.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the price tag's not a thing, though, is it, Shazza? It's not. It's the what it's meant to be for.
It's all about the love. That's how she feels. She shouldn't be with him.
I know.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad you spent $20.
That's
be real
great.
People. I know.
I'm dead. I would marry you too. $20 is fantastic. Look, thanks for the call, Shazza. Triple M, who's this?
Big Al, your pal.
Big Al, what's your ring thing?
Ring me up later and I'll tell you. Listen,
how did you go about getting a ring for Jude?
Holland Park Hotel. I was the bar manager. I came in the next morning, found it on the bar floor.
Right.
And...
Yes.
Yeah, it was a nice gold band, and she still wears it today, 30 years later.
Mate, it wasn't the ring pull tab off a tinny of Forex, was it? It better not
no,
be.
But someone,
okay.
It could be a discarded ring from a disgruntled partner.
Wow.
It's lasted this long with no inquiry. Does she know how you got it?
Yeah, no, it was funny because it was just in my tip jar, and years later when I asked you to marry me, bingo, I already had the ring.
Oh, my.
Such a bar manager.
Goodness.
And yeah, it didn't cost too much at all.
Hello.
Raymond, what's your ring thing?
Well, Jenny and I met up, and we'd been living together for probably a bit over a year or something, and we decided we probably should get married.
Right, so you did the suffering.
No, there was no suffering involved.
He just did the try before you buy bit.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to give him a run in. But anyhow, getting down to it, I don't think we ever got an engagement ring. After we decided we should get married, one day I said to her, here's a few $100, go and see if you can find yourself a ring.
Oh, wow, you've just got here. Go get yourself something.
Yeah, buy what you like.
Keep the change.
Way it'll... You'll be happy then.
And, well, is she happy? Was she happy?
Oh, I just got corrected. It was $100 I gave her.
Is she happy right now? No, you need to price and product points correct.
Can she let us know?
She is very happy.
Oh, she's very
she
happy.
Loves me to bit.
I bet.
Yeah, she does. Well, she tells me that anyway.
Hi, this is Leslie from Yeppoon.
What's your ring thing?
Years ago, a friend of mine, these guys were so in love. They were just, and they didn't have, you know, big money to spend on a wedding or a wedding ring.
Yeah.
It was in the UK. You used to be able to buy these little packets of, like, potato chips called hula hoops. And they were like little potato rings. And they actually got engaged. He put the little hula hoop on her finger.
Yep.
And she was just like, oh, my God. So, anyway.
She was like, woohoo.
Yeah, hula hoop. And every year it became a joke that he would just buy a carton of these, like, hula hoops as an anniversary present. And like she said, you know, like, it didn't matter what it was.
Aww.
It could have been, you know... It just didn't matter, really.
I'm not a fan of hula hoops. I'm disappointed. It wasn't Cheezels.
No, well, look.
Cheezels, you know, yeah. I mean, he picked the wrong chip.
Look, if
know?
It's going to be anything, surely it would have been a burger ring. Come on.
Burger
where's the burger
on,
ring?
We could go in here, couldn't we?
Yeah, no, nah, she put a little twisty on that.
Hello.
Jimmy, what's yours?
It was actually my parents, eh? Hey? When they got married, nearly 30 years ago, they didn't have a lot, so the old boy went down just to the arcade and got one of them plastic 20-cent rings.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah, the Kern and Gumball machine.
Yeah, I love them.
Gumballs.
Yeah, but for 15 years, he squirreled away $25 a week.
Yeah.
So he averaged about $100 a month.
Yeah.
15 years later, he went out, bought her a $22,000 engagement ring.
Oh, that is a great plan.
$22,000? You know,
$22,000. It's a carat and a half, bloody beautiful looking gold diamond ring.
Yeah, so...
Because he said, you know, can't afford to give you what you deserve now, but one day I'll get it to you.
And patience is a virtue there.
That's beautiful.
Yep, and for the 15th anniversary, he got a dirty, great big diamond ring, so...
Nice.
Oh, look, that's how you do it in style, Pinky.
Are you a bit of a romantic then as a result?
No, mate, I think marriage is a load of crap, to be honest.
Banksy and Pinky
for breakfast.